Something I want to say just before we move to this other context, this other biblical context, this other biblical passage that includes the phrase stand your ground. I want to mention that just as I have frequently applauded and celebrated the many people from the many ethnic communities, including the white community, who spoke out against and fought against slavery, the many people of all the ethnic communities, including the white community, who spoke out against and fought against all of the atrocities of the Jim Crow era, I still celebrate and applaud and appreciate the people from all ethnic communities, including the white community, who are crying out against this atrocity that's being perpetrated upon our country by those who are using the Stand Your Ground laws to devastate not only the black families that are being devastated as these citizens, these American citizens, are shot and killed, but indirectly or even directly are devastating the American society in general as we all experience distress for one reason or another as this dark madness is forced upon us, and we all have to deal with it one way or another. Thank you so much to everyone who is saying this is wrong. That said, let's turn to Ephesians, a passage that is very, very familiar to many in the Christian community. And when I say that, I mean Ephesians chapter 6, and particularly beginning with verse 10, where Christians are being encouraged by the Spirit of God, who moved upon the Apostle Paul to write this to the saints of God, to the children of God, to Christians. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul gives some directives and instructions and words of powerful encouragement on a number of topics. And here, the passage that I'm getting ready to share now is one where the Christians are encouraged to take up the fight, to take up arms and fight against our enemy. And the enemy that we're being encouraged to fight against is not one that people would normally think about. I'm going to begin at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. After having given words of encouragement regarding the way marriages should be handled, the way we should work with our children, the way slaves and masters should interact with each other, he comes to this note as he ends this letter to the Ephesian Christians. And he ends with these words, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, verse 13 begins, put on the full armor of God. Take up arms. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. I can't help but wonder, and I've wondered this for quite some time, if this rallying cry that's being heard across America, to stand your ground, since approximately 2011 or thereabouts, started when someone read the Bible and saw this phrase, stand your ground, and they decided to take it out of its proper context and use it in a dark way that God never intended for that phrase to be used. We know that for centuries and centuries, people have very, very skillfully taken Scripture out of its context and used Scripture passages or Scripture verses or Scripture clauses in ways that God never intended for it to be used. That's nothing new. And since I don't know the person who got this rallying cry started using the clause, stand your ground, and I have never heard or read how this rallying cry came into being, all I can say is I wonder if it started here. Because we have plenty of people who go to church, plenty of people who purport to be followers of Christ, who use Scripture in bad ways. As a matter of fact, you think about it. How likely is it that a Buddhist will take Scripture passage and misuse it? How likely is it that someone who regularly attends the mosque will use Scripture passage, biblical Scripture passage, and misuse it? How likely is it that someone who regularly attends worship services that are attended by Sikhs will take Scripture passage and misuse it? Use it as a rallying cry for harm in dark, sinister ways. No, more than likely, if Scripture passage is being used, biblical Scripture passage is being misused, it's more than likely to be done so by someone who attends a Christian church where biblical scriptures are read and supposedly followed. Still, I'm going to clarify again. I don't know how this rallying cry came into being. And so I wonder if someone purporting to be a Christian, someone who attends a Christian church, possibly on a regular basis, was reading this passage one day and came up with a brilliant but dark idea. Hey, let me start using this. I like this phrase, stand your ground. I'm going to start encouraging people to use this same phrase, stand your ground, in a way that will give white people a legal right to shoot and kill black people all across the country. Hopefully we'll get it started in this state where I live, and we'll be able to get it to grow. We'll get this movement to grow so that it becomes law, hopefully, in every state of the union. And we make it easier for people to just shoot to kill. All they have to do is say, I felt threatened. And they begin to put meat on the skeleton, on the bones of this dark conception. Well, I do want you to know that whether or not this came from, this started with a reading of the passage, the word, the phrase, stand your ground, is found in Scripture, but just in a way that would truly be pleasing to God, and not in a way that gives people freedom of conscience to do the very thing that God said, don't do. You shall not kill. You shall not commit murder and cover it up by claiming you felt that your life was in jeopardy.